And one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart about in the fivefold ministry and where we started, the fivefold ministry is going to begin to start manifesting itself here, okay? And so what we're going to do, and as I don't want to steal no thunder, I'm going to go in a different direction starting next week and something that God wants us to do. But I want to finish up where this lesson in Ephesians 4 tonight, you know, where he says in verse 11, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith. Amen. And God has grown us something. But afterwards, the Apostle Paul said, hey, you can do this, but don't do this. In other words, if you're an apostle or you're a prophet or you're an evangelist or a pastor and teacher, you're gifted by God. You don't act like you used to act.
Amen.
Amen. You've been endowed with the Spirit of God. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Are you missing someone? I thought you were missing someone. Hallelujah. Praise God. But we'll start reading in verse number 22 tonight. The Word of God says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You have to change the way we think. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And here's where we want to focus tonight. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. And one of the things the Lord is speaking to me, he says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And God wants us to be friendly. Amen? One of the things he keeps speaking my heart about, he brings people out of the world, and they had all these friends and acquaintances, and they come into the body of Christ, and they're friendless. And God wants us to be friendly. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And one of the things that the Lord spoke to my heart about being friendly, Solomon says in Proverbs 18, and you don't have this in your lesson, but write it down. In Proverbs 18, verse number 24, Solomon says, a man that have friends must shew himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Jesus, man, I've got a friend like I never had before. I mean, I got friends in this earth, and I got good friends in this earth, but I have a greater friend in heaven. Amen. And my friend in heaven, sometimes my friends on earth don't understand everything about me, but God understands everything. Amen. He knows everything about me, and he knows everything about you. So one of the things that he was speaking to my heart about first is to be friendly. It means to be preferring. To be preferring. And what I have there is in Romans chapter 12. What I mean about preferring is putting others before yourself. Amen. If I'm a follower of Jesus, he put me before himself.
That's right.
He went to the cross for me and for you. So he preferred us. Amen. So what I'm thinking is preferring one others before ourselves. And the Apostle Paul, as he's writing to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 12, verse number 10, he says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. So we're the persevering, the preferring others before ourselves, the preferring of others. Then to do this, to prefer someone, it takes the patience. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul, when he was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he interlaced it with chapter 13 with love, and then he gave edification and explained it in chapter 14. But for us to prefer others, we need to be patient. Amen? We need to put up with people. Hello? In verse 13, verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, charity or agape love or unconditional love. Everything in this last move, in this final move of God, as he ushers in the return of Christ, is going to be saturated in the love of God. Amen. The church is going to love like they never loved before. Amen. We're going to minister and care for everyone and love. And the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers will all be operating in love. Amen. Everything that's coming is a move of love like never before. Amen. And he says to us in verse number 4, he says, love or agape love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. It doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Amen. So what he is saying to us, he is saying, hey, to be friendly, we need to prefer others and be patient, and love of God will help us to be patient. My love cannot give me the patience I need. Come on. Come on. My love has conditions on it. Okay? But God's love, his agape love, is unmerited and undeserved. And when I allow his love to flow through me, I'm able to prefer others, I'm able to be patient with them, and I'm able to progress in his love. Amen. What I'm looking at here is the progressing in 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 5. The Apostle Peter kind of builds a foundation. Now, when you have the foundation, we're built on Christ, the solid rock. But when you start building blocks, you only do them in one layer at a time. So he says he gives us a progressing way to grow. Okay? He says in verse number 5, and beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So what he is saying for us first, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, to be friendly. Amen? Amen? To the preferring of others, the patience, and the progressing in God's love. Amen? How many know that everybody in the room is a work in progress? How many know none of us have arrived yet? We're all on a journey. But he takes us from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Amen. I'm excited about what's taking place in our nation and our world right now. Amen. If you look at the news, all hell's breaking out. And it shows me that God's got to arise so the enemy will be scattered in Jesus' name. My trust is in nothing less but Jesus Christ and his righteousness. Amen. God didn't call you for a time such as now that he wouldn't see you through it. Amen. So no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like, let's choose. If we're going to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, one thing we need to be is friendly. Secondly, he didn't stop there. He says, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. In other words, we need to be forgiving. Amen? If you have a forgiving spirit, you forgive others even before they come against you. You know, a lot of times when I'm faced with adversity, the Lord shows me it's coming. And I speak and I say, well, I already forgave you before this happened. Amen? So when he's talking about us being forgiving, it's by his word. Look with me in Mark chapter 11. Mark 11. Verse 25. We'll start with verse 24. Jesus speaking. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Amen. So he said, first, it's the word. Secondly, the wisdom. The wisdom in forgiving. And Luke chapter 17, let me say this to everyone here. The Lord said to bring this. He knows what everyone needs. Amen? Amen? Guess what? He doesn't point it at any time. Every time I point the word at someone, he shows me something I need to point at myself with. Amen. Amen. So he says to us in Luke 17, verse number 1. Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Amen. They have this mentality, well, I already forgave him once. I don't have to forgive him again. No. It's a continuation, and it becomes our witness as children of God. Now, here's the key. When we're letting our light so shine before men that they see our good works, and they give the Father in heaven all the glory, it's when we forgive people that don't deserve to be forgiven. Wait a minute. They don't deserve my forgiveness. Well, guess what? I didn't deserve my forgiveness that God gave me either. Hallelujah. Amen. It was unmerited or unearned or undeserved. Amen. I was sorry. When I was running today, I kept singing that song today. I'm forgiven because he was forsaken. I'm accepted. He was condemned. I'm alive and well. His spirit is within me because he died and rose again. Hallelujah. Man, I'm so grateful for his forgiveness. Hallelujah. So with me, and the witness comes in Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12. We'll start there. The apostle says this. He says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, vows of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, how do I do it? And above all these things, put on charity, agape love, which is the bond of perfectness, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. So what is he saying to you and I tonight? He's saying, one, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, to be friendly, the preferring of others, the patience and the progressing, forgiving one another. To be forgiving, it's the word, it's the wisdom, and it becomes the witness. Then he says, as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. And that's the third point, is to be forgiven. To be forgiven. Are you with me? There's healing that comes. Look with me in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we find the account of the four men of faith that were carrying a man that was sick with a palsy. The palsy was a paralytic disease. The man was paralyzed and couldn't walk. And the congregation was so thick they couldn't get into the church where Jesus was preaching. So they carried the guy up on the roof and opened up the roof and let him down. I don't know who did the roof repairs and stuff afterwards. It doesn't tell us that. But one of the things the Lord's speaking to my heart is sometimes unforgiveness makes you sick. Unforgiveness sometimes gives you heart disease. Sometimes unforgiveness gives you high blood pressure. Sometimes it takes all your joy because the adversary has a way of bringing their face before you to steal your peace and to steal your joy. Amen. But Jesus said, and let's look in Mark 2:5. He said, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Well, wait a minute. Sin is what brought the sickness. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. He says, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Amen. There's something that comes with forgiveness. We find secondly, there's the harvest, the harvest. Look with me in Luke chapter 6, of the harvest of being forgiven. Jesus gave us instructions. Verse number 37. He said, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. He says what? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with it all, it shall be measured to you again. Jesus said, judge not, and you'll be not judged. Condemn not, and you will be not condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. The same measure that we give out, the same measure we get a return on. Amen. So this speaks about one of the things the Lord is speaking to my heart about. It really takes the humility. The humility. If we can't humble ourselves, we're going to be in a sad state. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul puts it like this. He reminds the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved, and whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, or his unmerited favor, wherein he have abounded to us in all wisdom and prudence. So what is he saying to us today? He said, hey, let's be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Let's be friendly. Forgiving one another, to be forgiving. And as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you, so that we are forgiven. Given it shall be given back to you. Amen? I don't know about you, but we can't outgive God, can we? Amen? Amen? And what the Lord is saying, even when he was speaking to the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, and as we're being perfected in Christ Jesus, as we're walking in his love, it's his love. Perfect love casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth have not been made perfect in his love. In other words, when I look at this, if I fear doing this, it's because I'm trying to do it in my own power and my own strength, and I can't do it in my own power and my own strength, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and God is love. So when a guy says in me, the greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, there's greater love that's in me than is in this world. And that love of God wants to flow to you and I in a supernatural way. Amen. Are you with me? Amen. Amen. So the forgiveness in Psalms 103. How many know that you can't outgive God? Here's the benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Can we just stand? Can we stand? I was waiting for that, Robin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for thy helper. Hallelujah. Father, I'm thankful for every last one that's in the room tonight, Father God. I thank you for the friendliness that they have, Father God, that they're going to be kind, they're going to be tender-hearted, that they're going to forgive others, Father God. Father, right now I bind every weapon that the enemy's trying to form against minds in Jesus' name. Father God, I speak right now that we cast down all imaginations that exalts themselves above the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, that you've called us, Father God, to be friendly. You've called us to forgive others, and we're grateful through the blood of Jesus Christ that we have been forgiven. So, Lord, we cast all of our cares and our concerns upon you, for we know that you care for us. Have your way in our hearts and lives, we pray, and we'll never cease to give you the glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.